This morning I'm going to talk to you about some of the changes that are occurring in and around Genesee County, and specifically the Flint area. My presentation is actually going to look at health disparities, but I'm going to use a policy perspective. I'm going to use policy changes as my lens to look at health disparities. I want to say that I have nothing to disclose. I'm sorry my disclosure slide is missing. I realized after I had loaded this that I failed to include that, but I don't have any financial arrangements with anyone affiliated with this presentation. So I'm going to talk about the public policy conditions and health disparities in Genesee County, and specifically Flint, and then I'm going to talk about how we can evaluate the effectiveness of improving the health status in low-income communities by using different policies or the policy formulation. So before I begin my talk on Flint, I'm going to give you some background on health disparities. The study of health disparities, or a report on health disparities, was actually published in 1985. It was called the Report of the Secretary's Task Force on Black and Minority Health, and it was published by the Department of Health and Human Services. But this report actually didn't have a plan attached to it. It was just reporting factual information, and the plan to address health disparities didn't actually occur until 1999, and that was in the in the Healthy People 2010 publication. So in 2000, the National Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities was established. And they were established as a part of this plan. And since the year 2000, all national institutes and centers were required to develop a plan to modify or eliminate health disparities. In 2002, the National Institute of Environmental Health and Health Sciences established the Centers for Population Health and Health Disparities, and their role was to create new paradigms to explore the determinants of health disparities. So since this time, these centers, or this center, has been exploring the underlying question on how does the unhealthy environment get under the skin, or how does population risk relate to individual risk? So they developed a multi-level model to examine the factors that affect population health. And this was the model that they developed. And this model actually has three primary determinants. And they're shown here on the left side of your screen. They were categorized as distal factors and immediate factors and proximal factors. So the distal determinants are the ones that include social conditions and policies. And they affect policy. They also include policy-making bodies that influence and determine health. The intermediate factors, or intermediate determinants, include the social and physical context in which the distal factors are experienced within the community, and these include community and the neighborhood. And the proximal determinants, which are at the lower end of the spectrum, refer to factors that affect the individual. So this is the framework that I'm going to use for my particular study. So I'm really going to focus in on the Flint community, and most of you are familiar with Flint from the movie Roger and Me that was made about 20 years ago. No, actually it was longer than that. I think it was made in the 80s, so it's been more like 25 or 30 years ago. And Flint is a prime example of the effects of deindustrialization. And the city has actually been shrinking since the 1960s. In the 1960s, it had a, at its peak, it had a population of over 200,000 residents. And currently, the city has a population of a little over 100,000 residents. The ethnic composition of the community is approximately 53% African Americans, 41% white, 3% Hispanic, and 2.3% other races. Flint's economy was based around a single industry, and that was, of course, the automobile industry. And since the automobile industry has relocated, then it's had a devastating effect on the community. And based on 2009 estimates, the unemployment rate in Flint was 25%. So this actually created another problem within the city. But this has been happening over the last 20 years. There has been an issue of property abandonment and vacancy. And at first it was just a symptom of what was going on. The jobs were moving away, people were losing the jobs, and so that initially was a symptom. But now it's reached the point where it's no longer a symptom, and instead it's become part of the problem. So compounding the abandonment problem are some other issues that are directly related to unemployment and some of the issues that are going on in the city. So first I want to talk about the abandonment of homes in Flint. Under the previous tax system, the abandoned properties just sat for 5 to 7 years. So there was no way to actually reintroduce these vacant properties into viable properties for or income producing properties within the city. So what the city decided to do, and actually it took more than the city, they had to do this at a state level, they changed the tax laws in a way that provided an opportunity for these properties to be passed to the county and to the state within a shorter time frame. And so they created the Genesee County Land Bank. And this land bank was created to find opportunities to reuse these tax foreclosed properties. And the just to let you know what the size of the problem is, currently in Flint we have about 12,000 vacant properties. The land bank had possession of, at last count, approximately 4,000 of these properties. So the land bank created some programs to actually reintroduce these properties back into the city, into use. So some of these programs include the Adopt-a-Lot program, the Clean and Green program, housing renovation, they have a demolition program, and they also have a brownfield redevelopment program. And I'm actually going to focus on the Clean and Green program specifically for this presentation. So the land bank, the focus of the land bank, of course, was to recreate or improve communities. And here we see just a view of the downtown. The first picture that you see on the slide, that's actually on Saginaw Street in downtown Flint. And some of the things that have happened with the properties that were that sat vacant for quite a while, they were renovated, and within the last few years, downtown has been reintroduced with over $500,000 of renovation and improvement projects. And you can see here a few other of the buildings that have been renovated and reintroduced into the community as, of course, income-producing properties. Okay, and this actually has spread not just to the downtown, but out into the communities. And you can see here that we're trying to create new neighborhoods or revitalize neighborhoods, and you can see some before and after pictures of renovations. And one of the other pictures, the picture on your far right, is a building. One of the things they're doing with some of the downtown buildings is to create loft apartments. And so these properties are actually being used. So what I actually would like to focus in on specifically is the Adopt-A-Lot and the Clean and Green program. The Clean and Green program is a program that uses a competitive process to select organizations or groups to develop green projects. And the Adopt-A-Lot program gives community residents the opportunity to control and use vacant lots owned by the land bank to create green spaces for the neighborhood. So individuals are given free use of these properties, and they can use resources from the land bank, such as technical assistance with gardening, property maintenance, site design, and planting materials to create green spaces. And the Adopt-A-Lot program, individuals who participated in the Adopt-A-Lot program, if the vacant property is adjacent to your actual homestead, you can actually buy the vacant property from the land bank. Originally, the property sold for $1, and now I think it's up to $25, so you can buy a vacant lot for $25. So the reason I picked the Clean and Green program and the Adopt-A-Lot program was to look at specific indicators that are health-related. So a few of the factors that I've selected focus on the environment and safety concerns for land use. The study I'm proposing is looking at the health effects of the land bank. Previously, the focus of the land bank was mostly economic and environmental and safety. There were some safety issues that they looked at. But being that the Flint community is unique in that there's actually an ongoing study of the community that's been going on for almost a decade, I was able to get some information from the Prevention Research Center of Michigan. The Prevention Research Center does a random telephone-based survey of Genesee County residents every other year. So I'm going to use some results from the Prevention Research Center to look at changes in the population. So within the Flint community, I wanted to look at just a few of the indicators. And one of the questions that they ask of Flint residents is how they feel about their neighborhoods. So I looked at two time periods, one before the creation of the land bank, and the other is about 3-4 years later, to see if I could see a change in people's perception of the neighborhood. So this is just a slide that shows responses to the question, how satisfied do you feel with your neighborhood? Very satisfied, satisfied, dissatisfied, or very dissatisfied. So in 2003, you can actually see that there was an increase in people saying that they were satisfied with the neighborhood. The number of people in very satisfied, or the percentage of people saying very satisfied, did decrease slightly. But you also see a decrease in the number of people who say they were very dissatisfied. So people are moving, their perception or their satisfaction with neighborhood is moving a little bit more toward the center. We also, because of the program that allowed people to plant community gardens looked at whether or not people are actually eating more fruits and vegetables. So in 2003, we can see that individuals on average within this survey ate approximately a little under 3.7 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. And in 2007, it went up to 3.9 servings of fruits and vegetables. Now, I'm not saying all of this is a result of community gardening, but we do see a slight change. I think a little of it may have been the way they asked the question as well. But I do think that over time we will see some improvement. And the other thing that I looked at was weight. Okay, if people are eating more fruits and vegetables, I would expect to see a change in weight or body mass index. So what I have here is actually a look at the percentage of people that fall into underweight, normal weight, overweight, and obese categories. We do see a slight decrease in people that are normal or overweight, but we also see an increase in the number of people that are considered obese. So it's possible that, you know, the people who were once normal or overweight shifted over into the obese category, or the normal weight people shifted over into the overweight category, and the overweight people shifted into the obese category. So this indicator, I might use another indicator later in the study. So this is actually just the beginning of this study, and I'm going to look at some other indicators as well. The last indicator I'm going to talk about today is actually general health. So I looked at the indicator on the 2003 survey looking at general health, and of course we can see approximately 14% or so said that they had excellent health. It actually went up just a little bit in 2007. It looks about the same. About the same number of people said very good. There was a slight decrease in people that said good in 2007, and an increase in number of people who said their health was, general health was fair. But we did see a slight decrease in the number of people who reported very poor health. So this is actually just the beginning of this study and a preliminary study of what's going on in Flint, and using some health indicators to look at the effect of land banks on actual health. I would like to thank the following organizations for providing me with data and sources of information, and that's the Genesee County Land Bank Authority, the Genesee Land Institute, the Prevention Research Center of Michigan. And I also would like to thank the following individuals: Holly McDermott, Christina Kelly, who is with the Genesee Institute and the Genesee County Land Bank, Dan Kruger, who is with the Prevention Research Center, and Amy Eunice, who is with Community Outreach. And I would also have the following acknowledgments about the Speak to Your Health Community Survey from 2003 and 2007, and they were supported by grants from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. And I'd like to also thank all of the PRC survey committee members and those who participated in this project for their assistance. Thank you very much.